that his name shall be called Jesus. But his nickname, Emmanuel. Down in the hood where I came from, in the bottom of South Baton Rouge, if someone was looking for somebody and they called their name, no one really knew who they were talking about. And farther down in the conversation, after he saw it, he wasn't getting anywhere. He said they called him Tiny. Everybody knew who Tiny was. There are about 80 names or titles that are given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But wrapped up in all of them, not Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah Sittanu, but and the other names that and titles that is given to Jesus is the name above all other names, Emmanuel, which by interpretation is God with us. God with us. That text that originally found, first mentioned, is in the book of Isaiah. And it's caused much confusion throughout Christendom because the theologians had to put their test on what God's word is. What God's word is saying. So some have said that the text in Isaiah has reference to Jesus Christ alone. Others have come to the conclusion that the text has reference to someone in the time of Isaiah. Others have concluded that has a dual meaning. It had a meaning and its fulfillment in the time of Isaiah. It had a meaning and a fulfillment at some future date. But as we follow the word of God, we find that it had a double meaning, as it did with Jesus Christ when he was talking about destroying the temple and building it up, raising it up in 3 days. Jesus was in the grave 3 days. And as we fast forward in time, 70 years after the destruction of Jerusalem took place, so, following the paradigm that has been established by the word of God, it had a dual meaning. For that particular time, with the message of good news to Ahaz, as he found himself under attack, by the Syrians, as well as Israel. Judah had lost two battles. He had lost the battle to Jerusalem after they split up. They had also lost the battle to the Assyrians. He received word that a coalition had been formed by the two individuals that were staunch enemies, but they were uniting in an attempt not just to dethrone Ahaz, but to wipe out the house of David. Now, when they attempted that, and Ahaz heard about it before they had surrounded him, his knees started knocking. Because if you have lost the battle on separate times to one enemy, how do you feel when both of them come together and about to attack? Hence, God was looking down upon him, gave him an opportunity to make a decision to follow him. And he decided, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. It's not good to test the Lord, God. Huh? So I'm not going to make that mistake. You see, there is a sin of omission. How we try to sidestep certain things by going off on the tangent and finding some justification that might be taken out of context, but it suits our purpose for the time. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. That's true. But God was giving him the opportunity to make a decision so there was no temptation there. So he decided that he would not ask the Lord to give him a sign. In doing that, the prophet said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive, and bring forth a child. His name shall be a man, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that brought confusion in the mind of individuals, even to this day. What God was saying to Ahaz back yonder, centuries ago, in spite of the condition you find yourself in spite of all the collusion, today we are told there was no collusion. There was a collusion going on. In spite of that collusion, God, Emmanuel, meant God is still with us. Now, as we fast forward, wise men were out tending their flock, started seeking that there was something unusual going on in the elements. Now, they didn't have powerful microscopes. They didn't have spaceships. They just looked and saw a star different than the rest of the stars in the heavens, and recognized, because they had studied the prophecies, and they went looking. Wise men, they say. Wise men today are still looking. And so, again, the angel that visited with Mary said, his name shall be called Jesus, but his nickname shall be Emmanuel. Meaning God is with us. Now, in this scripture, this discourse with Mary, we find that Jesus, the deity of Jesus, he was fully God and fully man. God with us, who had handed the scepter over to his Father and scooped down and took on humanity before the foundation of the world, that agreement, that covenant was made with the Father. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Huh? You shall call him Emmanuel, because he's going to be fully God and fully man. It was necessary that it be done that way, because in order to save mankind, he had to become one with mankind. So the Father had approved of this condescension. It was necessary for him to understand what man, and identify with what man was experiencing. So he did that. The record says that a body was to be prepared for him. Now it boggles my mind. I know I'm not the smartest one in the house, but the book says it's a mystery. That means it cannot be explained. How is that a virgin, one who has not known the man, can conceive? Some things you're not supposed to know, but you can't help but wonder. Huh? And so Mary was wondering, how can these things be? How can that happen? The angel told her that the Spirit of the Lord shall overcome you, and that holy thing that is placed within you shall be of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to let my unsanctified imagination run away with me. I'm going to accept it by faith. He was fully God and fully man. One inspired writer says his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The light of the knowledge of the glorious God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. 9 months, God found a resting place in the womb of Mary. And he come forth in the fullness of time. Jesus Christ was one with the Father. He was the express image, the image of his greatness and majesty, outshining of his glory. It was to manifest this glory that he came to our world. Not as an alien from space, but as the creator of worlds. We're sending up satellites and sending up spaceships trying to find out if there's life on any other planet. A waste of time, energy, and money. Because if we were to be successful to find one of the worlds that God has created, and he created many worlds, and they are inhabited, they would become contaminated as this world. So I don't put no stock in what they're going to find. Because God has confined the sin problem to this world, Jesus has come to deliver us from the penalty of sin, and he is delivering us from the power of sin in our lives. And he's coming back to deliver us from the very presence of sin. By coming to dwell with us, Jesus was to reveal God both to men and to angels. He was the Word of God, God's thought made audible. In his prayer for his disciples, he says, I have declared unto them thy name, God's name, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, that the love of God, the love wherewith God has loved me, may be in them and I in them. But not alone for his earthborn children was this revelation given. Our little world is the lesson book of the universe. God's wonderful purpose of grace, the mystery of redeeming love, is the theme into which the angels desire to look. And it will be our duty, our study, throughout the endless ages, both the redeemed and the all unfallen beings will find the cross of Christ, their signs and their song. It will be seen that the glory shining in the face of Jesus is the glory of self-sacrificing love. In the light from Calvary, it will be seen that the law of self-renouncing love is the law of the life for earth and heaven. God has always desired to be with his people, and we can trace throughout the Old Testament. He told Moses, let them build me a sanctuary that I might dwell with them. God has always wanted to be with his people. The plan of our redemption was not an afterthought. A plan formulated after the fall of Adam. It was a revelation of the mystery which has been kept in silence through times eternal. So today, we sang Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will come to the door and open it, I will come in and sup with him. God is desirous. Do you hear somebody knock at the door of your heart? That's Jesus. He wants to come in and sup with you. He wants us to cast all of our cares and burdens upon him, because he cares for us. I see many tattoos on the face, up and on the arms, on the back, on the chest, down the legs, the whole body's a tattoo. But Jesus is wearing a divine tattoo. On his forehead, the puncture from the crown of thorns. In his side, the that was thrust the spear in his hand is engraved, your name and my name, showing that humanity and divinity throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. When he comes back, he's going to take those who have waited for him and watched for him. Dwell with us so God is acquainted with our trial. We all are experiencing some difficulty. Whether we want to admit it or not. We want to fake it until we can make it. Dress a certain way, ride a certain way, eat a certain way. We have problems that only Jesus can solve. See? God with us. As we look back over our lives, and as I look back over my life, I never could have made it without him. I would have lost it all. Huh? Never could have made it. Never would have made it. And as I look forward into the future, whether it's near or in the distance, I know that God is with me in the person. As the choir sang the song, Emmanuel, come. Come, let us adore him. Come. Come, let us bow down before him. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's coming back soon. He's coming for those who are willing to make the sacrifice that is necessary to follow him. He's coming back for those who are watching and waiting, ready to go back and live with him. Not just for a time, but throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us bow down before him. As Mahalia Jackson used to sing, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. He has promised that the conflict shall not arise a second time. And we know it's not going to rise a second time because those who are there with him, recognized by the tattoo that he wears, the flashing of the Shekinah glory through the pierced, nail-pierced hands, through the engravings upon the palms of his hands, through the crown, the indentions and marks of the crown of thorns upon his brow. You'll be able to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Tell the story how we got over. We got over only because God was with us. May the Lord bless and keep us faithful unto him. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Keep faith in God. Have faith in God. Your day is nearly done. Have faith in God until the crown is won. That the God who condescended and came down that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We'll speak the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. May this be our happy life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.